Brahma?
Very thing I've ever heard of Brahma. There's a couple right here. And this is a, this is not a spectator sport, you know, like, I'm going to do this together. So I just like a new idea here, or a new page turned in Perek Sheni, the second chapter, Halacha Hey. So here Rambam says, "Ushvach gadol l'shav." It's very praiseworthy for the person who's doing tshuva. She yisvade barabim, that he should publicly, listen to this, publicly confess his sins. Means like gets up in shuls, a few hundred people there, and he says, "I ate treif yesterday, right? I did something wrong." So shvach gadol l'shav she yisvada barabim. Let's just read it. V'yodiyap k'shav lahem, and he should explain his sins to the multitudes. The Rambam says, "U'megala avero shebeino leben chavero." And the sins that he has done between his man and his fellow man, he should tell them to other people. The Omer Lahem, and this is what he should say. He should say, "Amnam chatasi lipnoni," that the truth is, I have sinned to so and so. "Vasisi loi kach v'kach," and this is what I did to him. "Vahareni hayom," and today, I am shav, doing tshuva, v'nichem, and, what did that mean?
I'm changing perspectives.
Okay. And anybody who is so arrogant that they can't acknowledge or articulate their sins in public, but hides their sins, they're missing something in tshuva gemura. As it says in the pasuk, that if you hide your sins, you will not succeed in doing tshuva. Okay, so Shmuel, what do we just say?
Basically, you have to announce your sins to a large group of people.
Okay, everybody ready for this? Let's go around the room. What's up with this? Yeah. Even the Catholics don't do this. Even the Catholics don't do this. They don't get up and tell everybody their sins. So, yeah.
Rambam says, I mean, he used the word push it in for shav, but it doesn't say the chetz. He doesn't, it's not saying shogeg.
What's the difference? The chet?
Chet is.
Patasi avisi pashati, we talked about it. So, what are the three things?
He said it was bashogeg. He accidentally did something wrong.
The korban chatas.
Avisi meant he did it willingly, but it wasn't premeditated. And poshea was premeditated.
Like, you're really a bad guy. Poshea. So, okay, so that helps.
So in a sense, when you're actively going, you know, specifically going against Hashem, that already sort of has a more public essence to it.
So since it's publicly known anyway, that's the way you want to learn it, right? Since it's publicly known anyway, so since just like possible, like let's say, here's a, he's positing an interesting idea. Something which you've done publicly, in other words, I'm a famous sinner, right? I do it on TV, let's say. I'm like a famous sinner. So I have a certain obligation to, now that I've sinned publicly, I've got an obligation to, this is what you're saying, I have an obligation to confess publicly, and that might a little bit undo maybe the Chilul Hashem that I did. Okay, so that's one possibility. Although that's not exactly what he says, because he says that my tshuva won't be matzliach. In other words, it's got nothing to do with like undoing some damage that maybe it does, I shouldn't, but it doesn't sound to me like it has something to do with undoing damage that was done. It's like there's something in me that's incomplete unless I say it out. But we all know you're not supposed to say it out, right? So, like, that's the real problem. Like, you're not supposed to tell, are you supposed to tell people that you did Averus? It's like,
no.
So, okay, so let's finish the Rambam before we get us here. When am I saying this, that you have to tell, stand up in public and say, I have sinned? That's only talking about man-to-man sins. Okay, so now we have a new distinction. Depends what kind of a sin. Besides, for your fine distinction of between a chet and an avon and a pesha, there's another simpler distinction between benam lechaver, benam lemakom. Right? Everyone comfortable with those terms? Yeah? Yeshaya. And on Malka means what?
Means between you and Hashem. And then the other one's between you and me.
Avot Shebeino Lebein Hamakom. But if it's talking about sins between me and God, Eino Tzarech Leparzim Atzmai, Eino Tzarech Leparzim Atzmai. It doesn't mean get real. Eino Tzarech. Not Mechuyev, right? Not necessary to be Leparzim, to publicize yourself. And on the contrary, Azus Panim Hiloi, it's a bit of a chutzpah. Azus Panim is like a little bit of a chutzpah in Gilim if you tell them out. What's the chutzpah here?
Wow.
This is like getting confusing. So what's the chutzpah?
Good chutzpah, is that?
As is pun. Says you don't have to do it. Let's say it's bad. And one of the al-chets that you do is al-chet shechatas l'fanach of as is pun. So what does it really mean? We say chutzpah, as is pun. What does it really mean? As is pun, help me.
Brazen face.
What does that mean? That's a brazen face.
It means like you're doing something that you're not ashamed of what you're doing.
It's like...
You're proud of, you know, proud of what you're doing.
Right, like, so
you
don't, like...
You know it's wrong, and you know...
Right. Like, there's certain people, like, that they have no busha, like, you know, they just, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing, and I don't care what everybody thinks, right? So, that's Azus Panim. So let's make that work over here. So here he says like this, good thing to say your sins publicly, but it's only a good thing if it's a social sin, like a man-to-man sin. If it's a spiritual sin, like, then you shouldn't say it. Or he didn't say you shouldn't say it. He says, you don't have to say it. Einot tzarech. You don't have to say it. And if you do say it, azus panim hilo. It's a funny language. Not that he's an azus panim, but azus panim hilo in gilem. There's something brazen about getting up there. Like, why aren't you embarrassed? That's the question we have to ask. Why aren't you embarrassed about your sins? So the answer is, I am embarrassed, but I want a kapara. What's wrong with that? Like, if the embarrassment is going to give me a kapara. So what should you do? Says the Rambam, Elashav lifnei hakel baruch hu, just repent before God, may he be blessed, uparek hatov, and you should detail your sins, lefanav before him, umisvada alehem, and you should say, listen to this, a lot of people don't read this part, umisvada alehem, and you should confess on your sins bifnei rabim, in front of a sibur. In fact, you should do it in front of a group, in front of the whole sibur. But stam. What does stam mean?
Quietly.
No.
In general.
Right. Generically.
Generic,
general is the same idea. It just sounds better generically. In other words, generically means that you don't have to get involved with, like, you know, I ate this, I slept with this, I did that. It's like, you know, like a, you know, just like generally, like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I am a sinner.
That feels so good. I sinned this year.
Shmuel. Okay. So what are we supposed to do? No, I just listen. I'm just reading this. What are we supposed to do? And then he says, let's get to the next couple words. B'tova hilo shelo niskala avono. But the best thing for him is, these are such strange languages. He doesn't have to, but the best thing for him, like, this is like so strange, right? But tova hilo, I need you guys to help me with it. I'm like, usually I come and tell you, I don't know. Tova hilo, it's good for him. Shelo niskala avono, this doesn't reveal a sense. Okay. Take it back. No, okay, that means probably his particular sins. So it goes like this. I don't want to go into detail, but I have sins. That's got to be the announcement. So does anybody ever make these announcements? I mean, you hear this, Elul and Mater Zorch Shul, you know? It's weird.
I saw one rabbi do it.
Oh, come on.
he apologized to the entire Sibur. His congregation? Yeah.
Every rabbi does that. It's just shtick.
Yeah.
It's just shtick. I did it every year. I didn't mean it. There you go. I ask the hilo from everybody if I haven't called you back. If I didn't stay long enough at the cemetery. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about, like, what do you say?
Isn't there, like, the best way to
the story about the Graz disciples that went on to a boat, and they the boat was going to be destroyed in the sea, and they said, well, since we're all going to die anyway, let's try to make a kapara and kill each other our sin. And they got very specific, and I don't remember the whole message was going to save. The one guy who said telling his sins, or Zelensky told us in one of his little Shabbos shmooze, he said that they're all in the circle, they're all ready to die, and they're going to do this kapara, and the one is just crying and sobbing, really getting into it, and he said, he didn't honor his mother his father had died and didn't have much money, and they could only portion out a certain amount of food, and he didn't want to take that much food, he didn't want to take the food away from his siblings, so he lied to his mother, he said he was getting food now at the cafeteria in the afternoon, so he didn't need to eat, and at home, you eat the scraps with his kids, his brothers and sisters leave over. He did that for his whole adolescence and childhood. He said he sinned and he just wanted
to. So, 1 second. So, what do we see from this story?
Saying that people that they're only in dire situations, that there's only a situation where they knew they were pretty much 100% positive.
You see that the right thing to do is to talk about your sins.
If there's no other reason to live, you're not going to live, so why not do it? But otherwise, if there's 1% chance of living, then you shouldn't specifically see out your sins.
Very confusing. Very confusing. Good, it's bad, it depends on what. But Tova Hilo, it's good for you, Shalom Niskala, Avono. I want to get this clear, so we got a half hour to get this clear. It's just an important question. What are you supposed to, is this... As far as I know, the way you learn it when you're a kid is that you're not supposed to, if you sin, just shut up. Do tshuva in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say al chet and just don't make a big deal. That's the way we learned it in cheder, but on the other hand, I'm always happy to learn that they were wrong. I like that. The question is, there's a lot of things that just, I find they read too fast. A lot of people just read it too fast and they, so it's not really right. So what is the Rambam saying here? What is he saying? He's saying that, let me say it over my words, correct me if you think I'm not paraphrasing this correctly. He's saying that actually it's really a good thing to always confess your sins publicly. That's what he says, per point one. But you should limit that to your averus, which are ben adam l'chavero. And you don't have to confess your sins publicly if it's ben adam l'mako. Sounds like what? You don't have to, but maybe still it's a good thing, but you don't have to. I don't know why you wouldn't have to. What's the difference? And if you do, you have azus panim. So that's a little bit something brazen. Why isn't there azus panim in ben adam l'chavero? I have killed tens of people. I mean, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I guess that's the Azazpana. Don't you care what anybody thinks of you? Aren't you embarrassed? Otherwise, if you really felt that this was wrong, you wouldn't say it so quickly. If you felt really it was wrong, you wouldn't say it so quickly. People that are so happy to say, about their sins. See, it's a different issue. I'm not sure if it's related or not, but there is an issue of Bali Tshuva to walk around saying, I used to love, bacon and eggs. Is that right? So that's not a confession. That's just like talking about it. So that's, I understand, maybe too much attachment to the other. So what do you,
The rabbi, as long as he could, also, it's not just Mutharra, but it's also like publicly known sins that he says, in Averus.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do this. Let's be sophisticated over here. Let me show you where all this comes from. It's like Gemara Numa, Pevavim and Beis. And let's just learn a few lines in Gemara. I'll learn it with you. Gemara says, find the right place here. Okay. Sarich lifrait es hachet. No. Just 1 second. Let me just get the exact. Rav Rumiksiv. Okay, here. Okay. Rav Rumiksiv. Rav, with the Tana Rav, Rumiksiv asked a contradiction in Tupsukim. He had a problem with Tupsukim. On one hand, it says in Tehillim, Ashrei Nesui Pesha Kesui Chato. Right? That praiseworthy is the person who carries his sin, and covers his chet. Do you like this pasuk? This is good. He's Nesui Pesha and Kesui Chato.
Nesui is.
What does that mean?
It's carrying, but it's supposed to be lifting. Bringing it up.
I mean, like sanctifying.
No, like taking it off of you, taking off the transgression.
Like no, how they do it. No seyavon v'fesha v'chatov v'nakeh. So what does it mean to be no seyavon? What does it mean when we say Hashem? Let me just give you a quick lesson in this. When the 13 attributes of God, we say Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim, right? Kel rachum v'chanun, he has mercy. Erech Apayim, he doesn't lose his temper. Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, we talked about that. Rav Chesed, he looks at the Chesed side. Rav Chesed, the MS. No tzeh Chesed, la lofim. No say avon, v'fesha, v'chata. All three. No say avon, v'fesha, v'chata, v'nakei, and then he cleanses. So what does it mean when we say, very important, we're going to say this on Slichus now, coming to Saturday night, we're going to say this about 1,000 times. No say avon, v'fesha. What does it mean that when we say Hashem is a no say avon v'fesha v'chata?
He's the one that
bears our iniquities. But what does that mean? What does it mean? Simple English. What does God do for us? No say avon. We understand what it means that He doesn't get angry. We understand what it means that He has mercy on us. What does it mean that He's a no say avon v'fesha v'chata? No say avon v'fesha. Carries our sins.
He lifts up our burden. He lifts up our burden from upon us.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah, what do you say?
He passes over our sins, like he just ignores them.
That was why carry?
He carries over.
We carry, right?
No, it says that Hashem carries. This is the midas of Hashem. Hashem is no say avon v'fesha v'chata. So he's saying that he ignores them. But that's not what no say means. So there's a piece missing here, right? So what do you say? Let me another possibility here. Taich. No say avon v'fesha. Very good not to know what you're saying. It's sleepless. Very good. No, it's a good thing. Like, you know, no say avon v'fesha. V'chatai carries.
He takes it off the balance.
Hmm?
Takes it off the balance.
That was the verse of Hashem is mamish always suffering from our sins. He's always suffering. He's always like, whenever we do something, he's able to suffer for us. We don't always have to suffer for it. He can suffer for us to be able. And that's the most avon is him suffering.
He's carrying it for us.
He's carrying it.
It's a pretty wild concept, though. Really.
Tamar
Dvar. So that's not exactly what the Tamar Dvar says that, but it doesn't say it in no say of him. Right, right. He says it. Yeah. Okay. We're gonna look at that Tamar Dvar. Let me tell you. I think it's a simple shot. No say of him. Let's say you're making a lot of money, and you have a big, you know, you're servicing a big debt in the bank, but it's good because you're making a lot of money. So, you know, you got a lot of real estate, you got a lot of businesses, you're making a lot of money. That's good. So then suddenly things don't go so well. So you can't service your loan. You can't go to the bank and make your $10,000 payment. So you go to the bank and say, look, I'm having a cash problem. I have all of this stuff in stock. I've got merchandise, I've got real estate, I've got all kinds of things. I just can't make the payment. I'm cash strapped. I can't make the payment this month. So the bank manager says, all right, we'll carry you. That's the expression. we'll carry you. Does it mean we'll carry you? That we understand that you're really good for the money. You're really good for the money. we understand that you're a good customer, you have a healthy portfolio, but do we understand that sometimes a person gets cash strapped and you can't really make the payment right now, so we'll carry you for a few months until you get back on your feet. In other words, you're a really good customer, we'll carry you for a few months, 6 months, 8 months, a kol lefi mashu adam, right, according to how big of a customer is, we'll carry you until you're back on your feet. So the Talmud Dvarah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries us. In other words, the truth of the matter is, says the Talmud Dvarah, that when we fall and we sin, we should lose it immediately. That would be it. Basically, this Talmud Dvarah says, Yechai Misa. You violated the basic agreement. You violated it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not just that he's going to, what did you say before, he forgets about it, or he ignores it. Is that what you said? He ignores it. Not the pshat that he ignores it. He doesn't ignore it. He's no say avon v'fesha v'chata. He carries us. He'll carry the sin. I'll carry the burden. Hashem says, "You get back on your feet. You get back on your feet." In other words, you concentrate on doing tshuva and getting back on your feet. And in the meantime, like, don't worry about this aveir. It's like such an important idea. Like, don't worry about it right now. If you worry about it right now, you got to get on your feet. If you worry about it right now, you're gonna mess us up. Like tshuva messes up your tshuva, because there's different types of tshuva, right? So the first type of tshuva we talked about on Thursday night, like the first kind of tshuva is just like you got to be good. You got to get back on your feet. You got to be a tzaddik. The Reb Tzaddik and the Menuchas Chinuch and all of them say that just by deciding to be good, you don't even have to say anything. You're already called a tzaddik. To be a tzaddik right now. You can decide right now to be a tzaddik. Everybody want to be a tzaddik? You're going to be a tzaddik. That's all. You don't have to do tshuva. You don't have to do anything to be a tzaddik. By the way, I understood something like very deep. Two things, really, with this Reb Tzaddik. But first of all, I was thinking, like, a lot of times when you're Mesader Kedusha, you know, if you're marrying somebody, so the minhag is that the Rav, you call up two witnesses, right, to witness the Kedusha, and they have to be kosher witnesses. So the Rav, like if you're like a machmir, yeshivish rabbi, so you say to the witnesses, the witnesses should be maharer b'tshuva. You ever hear that? Anybody been under the chuppah enough? The witnesses should be maharer b'tshuva. They should think about tshuva. Before you bear testimony, you want to make sure that you're kosher Jews. So I remember, like, you know, 30 years ago, the first time that I ever performed a marriage, so I read every one of these kitzur books that there are on how to perform a marriage. So I remember that these two Rosh Yeshivas came up, and I was like a young guy. These two Rosh Yeshivas came up, and they were the witnesses. They were the Edom. So I wanted to do this all right. I was nervous. So I said to this Rosh Yeshiva, long white beard, I said to him, can you please be Maharer and Tshuva? So he said to me, you don't have to tell me that, just like that. Just, you don't have to. I don't need you to tell me to do tshuva. You know, like, I know what I'm supposed to do. Like, anyway. But all right, but that's what it says. You should ask, the Masada Kedusha should ask these Edom to be Maharer b'tshuva. So lately, I'm thinking, so what good is that? So they're Maharer b'tshuva. What is it? What are they supposed to do? If you want to really be frum, you should stand under the chuppah and you should tell the Edom, okay, hand them a vidui card, you know, plastic laminated, have a vidui card, and they should stand there for 15 minutes in front of everybody. Right? That's what they should do, right? You got to do tshuva, do tshuva. I mean, one way or the other. Or, if you don't want to be so demonstrative about it, so give them the card before the chuppah. Say, look, you're going to be a witness. I just want you to do tshuva. So do a real tshuva. Say the whole al-chaitz and everything. So lo shamanu, right? That should be the way to do it. So it always bothered me, like, what is this? Edom should think about tshuva. What is that? So the answer is that the first step of tshuva is just to decide that you're going to, that just to decide that you're not going to do the chet any longer. And the minute that you decide, just in your mind, you don't do any of the steps of tshuva at all. We learned on Thursday night, the minute that you decide that you're going to do tshuva, you're called a tzaddik. Now, one of the downsides to that kind of tshuva is that generally you will slip and fall back into a chet again. That's why we said, remember, we learned that if a man says kedushin to a woman, he says, "Arei I'm a kedushin on the condition that I'm a tzaddik," even if he's a rasha. Remember, we learned this. It's a good kedushin. Why? Maybe he did tshuva, but he didn't do tshuva. We're watching him. He didn't do tshuva. He didn't say al chayt. He didn't do all the stuff that he's supposed to do. So what do you mean maybe he did tshuva in a second? The answer is he didn't do tshuva. But what he did was, he did enough tshuva, the first step of tshuva, that you could already be called a tzaddik. That's like step one. So the problem is that if you just do step one and you don't get into it, like, you're going to really fall back and slip again. So if I'm marrying somebody, who cares? Like, I just want you to be a tzaddik this minute. I don't care. If, I don't care. 10 minutes now. I'm not doing kirov under the chuppah. I just want to make sure I have a good kedushin here. I'm not making bali tshuva. So I just want to make sure you have a good kedushin. So the way I have a good kedushin is right now I need you to be tzaddik. So at this moment, be mahar b'tshuva. That's all. Be mahar b'tshuva. So like, it's an insight into what's going on over there. I was here in Yerushalayim. A few years ago, I got called as a witness under a chuppah. And Rav Soloveitchik, the Reshiva Brisk, was the Masadar Kedushin, Rav David Soloveitchik. So I you got to see him. My son learned at his yeshiva, right? He's the Brisker Rav's son, Rav Chaim Brisker. So they called me up. I was an American, you know, so he didn't know me at all. So they called me up to be an aide. And as they called me up to be an aide, like, he puts his glasses like this. And he stares at me.
Wow.
From the top to the bottom. I felt like I was in one of these full-body MRI machines, you know? I was never like so uncomfortable and so exposed. I'm just standing there under the chuppah and he's just up and down and up and down. He's staring at me. And then he says to, I don't know who he said it to, he said it to the whole team, he says, the aid is kosher. Whoa. you know, what do you think that felt like? Okay, good. So, you know, I'll tell you something. Like, yeah. Hey, just kosher. I don't know if I was kosher when I walked up the steps at a chuppah, but I tell you, by the time he finished his MRI, I was kosher. I did chuppah. I was like really afraid what he was going to find. Like, you know, it was unbelievable. Like, you know, back and forth, it was like. Scary thing. But there is this concept here of being a Baal Tshuva for a moment. So what happens then? Like, maybe like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, I didn't get rid of the chet, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lifting the chet from me for a moment. In other words, I'm not burdened, right? The concept of lifting something off your shoulders is I'm lifting your burden. Isn't that the idea? So you don't have to be burdened with it for this moment. Eventually you got to get to this. And you got to deal with this, and you got to take care of it. I don't have to be burdened with it at this moment. So, no say avon v'fesha v'chata, no say avon v'fesha v'chata v'nake. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to pick up the aveir from us. Think about this in practical terms. It means to say, like, you walking around like feeling so heavy. I did this, I can't. So you can't just like leave it alone for a minute, put it on hold. Kadosh Baruch Hu will carry the sin, help you carry while you get back on your feet, like the bank. That's why you get back on your feet. So, if let's try to put this into this Rambam here. I think this is all the same vocabulary. Not always ready to publicly articulate my sins, nor should I always publicly articulate my sins. But if I don't publicly articulate my sins, so then I still have something inside of me that I haven't gotten out of my system. Okay, so now we're saying that there is an advantage. The Gemara says, Ashrei Nesui Chata. Okay, Rami Ksiv. Ashrei Nesui Peshak Nesui Chata. Cover up your sins. Forget about it. What does it mean? In other words, cover it up. Forget about it for a minute. Like, fool yourself. Fool yourself, Dovin Amel says. And, like, be a tzaddik for the moment. Like, don't think of yourself as a sinner. That's what the pasuk is saying. Don't think of yourself as a sinner. You did averus. Later on, you'll get to that. You'll deal with that. But right now, you don't have to. You know, I always think like, you know, I used to think it was so weird, but now I understand it better. Like Reb Nachman over at Gavriel, you know Reb Nachman a little bit, right? Like throughout the whole story, every time he talks about tshuva, he says like in his eitzes, the good eitzes, he says, just forget about it right now. So it's not so weird. We just forget about it. You know, like just forget about it. But what he's saying is that there's a madrega. He did tshuva his whole life. But I mean, there's a madrega of a tzaddik which is going to deal with his averes in his past and make that good and rectify. But right now, somebody's coming and saying, like, oh, yeah, I did an aver. What's going to be? He's pulling his hair out and he's scratching himself. You know, forget about it. Forget about it. Because if you're bogged down, you can't get anywhere. So this is the first pasuk. Ashrei Nesui. It, not saying it in public is not completely dealing with the Avera. Okay, so don't completely deal with the Avera right now. Don't. That's what he's saying, yeah?
What would Shimon carry our Avera's for? Why can't you destroy it and that's it?
Vinnake. That's the last word. Vinnake means that if you can't do it, because it's much better if it's much better if he doesn't destroy it. I'll just tell you technically why. Because if he doesn't destroy it, you can take the aver and turn it into a mitzvah.
No, when you do tshuva, after that the next step
comes a mitzvah, right? Your averes can become mitzvahs. Well, that's what's right. Nasa loikisvi. What? If you do tshuva correctly, mi'ava tshuva mi'ava, so then your averes become schuyos. They become schutagavi. So the answer is, simple answer is, it's probably very deep, but the simple answer is they become building blocks to my future somehow or another. Like even your mistakes, right? Even your mistakes can be building blocks to growth.
Help you get to where you
if
are.
You're on the right track,
help you get to where you are.
That's right. Right. I mean, I'm not here to extol sinning, but right. The fact is, nobody'd be here if you didn't do an aver.
What?
Aversion. No. Aver puts you into tshuva mode. So, like, there's a good, like, there's retroactively, you're not allowed to sin, but. Retroact, like sometimes that sin that you do can become a building block. So okay, I just want to get Shad and Gemara. So the first pasuk is Rav is Tupsukim that he's working with over here. On the one hand, he's got Ashrei Nesui Chata Kisui Pesha, just be in denial, right? Just be in denial, right? Deny your sins. Isn't that what it means? Doesn't talk about not saying it, yes saying it. Denial. Good stuff. Uksiv, denial is a good thing. Uksiv, time we finish, everything that we think is, everything you think is bad is really good. Denial could be good, like guilt, everything. In America, like guilt is like, like if you hide misa, if you make somebody feel guilty, don't put me on a guilt trip. Why not? What's wrong? Guilt is good. I like guilt. I mean, guilt, it's like a toothache. You have a toothache, you go to the dentist, you fix it, otherwise you didn't have a toothache, you'd be a mess. Like guilt's not a bad thing, you gotta just, like it's not a bad thing, it's like, whoa, guilt. It's like a big aveira. There's no aveira to guilt. It's like everything else. You gotta be the right. Uksiv. But then it says, Mechasib Shav lo yatzliach. Another pasuk in Mishlei Chavches. Mechasib Shav. So here on the one hand it says to be in denial. And on the other hand it says, if you cover your sins, Shav lo yatzliach, you won't be successful. Won't be successful in what?
Tshuva.
So what's the deal?
So okay, it's probably like you let them off your head for the time you need to get things taken care of, and then when things it's time to take care of it, then you bring it back and you deal with it.
Okay.
But if you put them in the closet and you leave them there,
You can't just leave them there. Yeah. So are there any sins you should immediately confess? So let's see what the Gemara says. Here's like the Gemara says. Like Kasha, no problem with these two psukim. Bear with me, hold with me here for a minute. Ha bechet mefursim, this is the rivet, right? Ha bechet mefursim, ha bechet she'enu mefursim. It depends. If it's a public sin, like everybody knows I sinned, so then say it in public. If it's not a public sin, if it's a private sin, then keep it private. Why? Why is that? In other words, being that it's better to really say your sin anyway, right? It's better. Why? Because it sort of purges it out of my system. Catharsis, but even better, that was what I was saying, but even better, if you say it, then you really are dealing with it. I told you, like at the AA meetings, they start off, I'm an alcoholic. Everybody's, I'm an alcoholic. Like the first step is to acknowledge that you've got a problem. You don't acknowledge you have a problem, like you're not going to go anywhere. But isn't it true, like you talk to people about something they're doing wrong, even kids, and I talk to my kids, something that they're doing wrong, I tell them all the time, like, if you're going to keep on arguing with me whether you did or you didn't do it, we're not going to get anywhere. Like, the first step is, I'm full of forgiveness and love and not a problem, but just, like, acknowledge that this is what you did, Did you say something that wasn't true? As long as we're being defensive about it, you don't get anywhere. So if it's a chet meforsim, so the first thing to do is just say it. Everybody knows that I did this chet. Now you got to know it too. So it's chet meforsim, just say it in public, and that has some kind of an advantage. It's a funny gemara. Chet she'enu meforsim, but if it's not meforsim, so just keep it private. So or it's not brazen to say something which everybody knows. Okay, that's the first opinion. Anyhow, this is not the. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Nachman says that's not the distinction. The distinction is, when should you be in denial and when should you be open? Come out. What's the word? Come out with it. Kan ba'averish shebein adam l'chaveiro, kan ba'averish shebein adam l'makom. Different distinction. If it's bein adam l'chaveiro, you should come out with it. If it's bein adam l'makom, then you should keep it to yourself. So why would that be a distinction? Help? So it's the same as public? Not necessarily public.
It's more public than bein adam l'makom.
Yeah, because I mean, maybe let's just say even a simpler thing, like God will carry me.
Uh-huh.
He knows that I've sinned, but how do I know that you're going to carry me? You may not. If you learned a lot of Musar and you know that I've sinned against you, you might carry me, but otherwise you may not carry me. So what we have to do is we have to straighten out between ourselves. Have to. So the pshat is you have to ask mechila. In other words, you know, God is one thing, like, you know, but you can't rely on people being godly. So if you can't rely on people being godly, so then I have to be able to say my chet. So here we have, that's the second opinion, Rav Nachman. Okay, so based on this Gemara, so what do we learn from this Gemara? How the Rambam got to his halacha? What do we get from this Gemara? Somebody tell me. Go ahead, tell me. What did the Gemara say? Two opinions. First opinion is?
One is a public sin, one is a private sin.
Right.
And the other one is one is between you and the person, or between you and Hashem.
Right. So how do we answer the two psukim? The where it says you should cover your sins, that's talking about?
Either private or between you and Hashem.
Either private or between you and Hashem. That you should cover. And why would that be? You don't have to involve the public. Very good. Well said. You don't have to involve the public. And between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we already have a promise from Hashem that He'll carry us. No sale of confession, right?
So the public can't do anything for you.
What? Public's not going to do anything for me. So ain't sorry.
Exactly right.
So ain't sorry. There's no point in it. That's just fun in me, Lloyd. Not only there's no point in it, if there's no point in it, then it's stupid. It's just brazen to tell people that I've sinned. What's the point? It's just brazen face, like I couldn't care less what anybody thinks about me. It's like a, but okay, so that's one. Same thing is with chet public. If it's public and everybody knows about it anyway, so then there is an advantage to saying it out. Why?
Because they need to know that you've done Jew before. Because for a whole time, they'll be saying that you're doing wrong. You're saying that these are errors. So they need to acknowledge that you're not doing it anymore. Public, you're okay.
Right.
They need to know, because if not, then you're going to be seen as that's wrong.
Yeah. So what we have here is just to finish the idea here, and then we'll put it all together. Maybe a different. We've just skipped the halacha test for a second, just to get the a clear din here. The halacha test, he says, "Ein tshuva v'lo yom kippurim mechaprim." That the fact is, the tshuva and yom kippur and all that doesn't work. Elo averish beinam l'makom. It only works for averish between man and God. The whole tshuva thing doesn't work. Kigay mishu achal davar aser. Somebody ate something treif, or ba'al bila asur, he had a forbidden relationship, or kiyotza b'kiyotza b'ani, that kind of a thing. Aval avera shebeinam l'chaveiro, but if there's an avera of beinam l'chaveiro, says the Rambam, kigon choyvo b'chaveiro, if I punch somebody, or I makalo s'chaveiro, I cursed somebody, or gozo s'chaveiro, you robbed somebody. Kiyotza b'o, any way you've hurt your fellow man, einoi nimcha lo la'olam, all the tshuva in the world is not going to help you. Tshuva will not help you for this. You had to give back what you took. So how do you give back the punch? Like, how do you do that?
Your
hand's not a punch. Well, so what do you do, actually? He says, until you give it back. So in other words, that right now I punched you, so now I owe you something, some kind of compensation, an apology, whatever you want. I owe you, right? And money, whatever it is that I owe you, I owe you. So somehow or another, you got to be mochel me. So when you're mochel me, this look that everybody knows because they walk around and you don't care if you're mochel me, you're mochel me, you're mochel me. But it's a much deeper thing than that. Mochel means in halacha, what does mechila mean in halacha? Mechila means in halacha that I owe you something, like let's say I owe you $100, and then you're mochel me the chov. You forgive the debt. So when you ask somebody for mechila, you're not just saying, I'm sorry, you know, are you mochel me? It's like everyone says it, they don't know what it means. What are you mochel me means, what does it mean? Are you mochel me means that which I owe you, and I possibly can't even pay you, are you mochel? Now you have a right to say, no, I'm not mochel. You took $1,000, what do you mean, am I mochel? I'm not mochel. I want my $1,000. You built your house on my property. You know, what do you mean, am I mochel? No, I'm not mochel. You'll give me $10,000. I don't mean mochel. You're not always obligated to be mochel. The only thing that you've got to be mochel on are things that the person, what's the person supposed to do? There's no way that they can pay me. I insulted you. I embarrassed you in public. So what do you want from the person to do? What do you want them to do already? So the answer is, be mochel the person. So Rambam says, if you're not mochel, at the end, you're an oxer. You're a ruthless person. If it's not a monetary issue, you're a ruthless person. So I just want to bring up that Ben Am L'Chavero, the tshuva process is down here, at least the initial step of the tshuva process. And therefore, the tshuva process doesn't help you scream to God. God says, well, you didn't sin against me. If you sinned against me, I'll carry your sin. You sinned against Moshe, or Shlomo, or Yankel, that's who you sinned against. So deal with Moshe. You know, and if you sinned against the whole Rabbim, against the whole Tzibur, so get up in front of the Tzibur and ask them for forgiveness. It's not it doesn't help. Hashem's not involved in the Chatoyim to go later.
How are we supposed to know how many Averas we do? Can't keep track. We do so many Averas, it's hard to keep track of what we did. So how do you do Tshuva on everything?
So, first of all, you don't do so many Averas. They don't do so many Averas. No, I mean, it's like, you maybe repeat it, Averas. You repeat them, but it's all basic Averas that we do. If you sit down, let me tell you this. I mean, we're a little bit up in the air now, so tomorrow, God willing, we'll get it down to earth again. But let me just say this, that, you know, like, the most important things that a person can do, especially in Elul, you got to do it right there. You got to be sophisticated, is you have to make a cheshbon nefesh. So cheshbon nefesh, introspection, like the most important thing that you can do. Introspection means that you take an accounting, cheshbon, you know, you take an accounting and figure out, like, what's up with me. And you know what you find? Say, surprise, when you do a cheshbon nefesh, you take an accounting of what, like, it's a good thing. Like, let's say you go to bed at night, you have a 5-minute exercise here. A 5-minute exercise, like, turn on the video machine, rewind to the beginning of the day, and, like, when you woke up in the morning, and turn on the video machine and watch everything that you did all day. You know, we have the mental capacity to do this if you stop and do it. So it takes about, I'd say, 3 to 5 minutes to get through the whole day. Doesn't say much for our days, but that is the way it is. I mean, most of the things, you know, we're doing, you'll see right away that this conversation will be outstanding, you know, this tefillah will be outstanding. And so one of the things you see is that, you know, I'm not as bad as I thought I was. Like, you know, not too bad. Like, I'm doing pretty good, right? That's the first thing that comes up in the Cheshbon Nefesh. The second thing that comes up in the Cheshbon Nefesh is, you know, okay, there's a couple of things that I have to fix. So you take note of them, you know, either in your mind or in paper, and you take note of them, and you work on them the next day. So it's not, this is, the whole thing is, it's just like your finances. Like, the biggest problem with people getting messed up financially is they're just not on top of things. You know, they're really not, they're disorganized. That's like really the biggest issue. It's not so much I have money, I don't have money. I mean, but a lot of people are just like disorganized, you know. So they overspend, or they get into debt and stuff like that. You just got to be on top of things. It's the same thing with your ruchnius, the spiritual life of a person. You just got to be on top of things. And if you're not on top of things, it's like everything is either too big in my mind or too small in my mind. It's completely out of perspective. So I think, let me just give you a hint to what I think is going on. I think that, like, a lot of the saying in public, whether you say in public or just say in front of Hashem, a lot of the saying, the vidui, saying, is, it puts it into a very manageable packet. It's like, here it is, it's in writing. This is the bottom line. This is the debt. This is what I did good. This is what I did bad. This is what I got to work on. This is where I'm growing. So a growing individual has got a spiritual portfolio, and they're on top of things. They're watching it on a regular basis. So I mean, the answer to your question is, like, you don't wait for the holiday rush. You, like, every night, it's just a 3-minute exercise. And, you know, I know something, it doesn't, like, depress you. It makes you happy. You feel, like, a lot of nice things about yourself. It's like 3 minutes of egotism. just reflecting on yourself, going through the thing, and saying, you know, how was I with people? Just play the video. How was I with people? What did I say? It'll be outstanding to you that I said something yesterday that I really probably was probably very hurtful to another person. And you'll fix it the next day. That's all. And as you get good at this and sophisticated at this, you realize that a lot of the people, I mean, I realize this, just talk for myself, I can't say you'll realize it. A lot of the people that, like, I get really upset when they do things, like, a lot of things get on my nerves, it's my nature. So if something gets on my nerves, like, a lot of times I realize, when I think it through, that, you know what, this is not their problem, this is my problem. Like, they're really not doing anything, like, wrong, it's just that it's getting on my nerves. Why? I don't know, because, you know, because my mother said this 40 years ago, or because of this, or because of, like, all kinds of reasons why something gets on my nerves. But it's not that person's fault. So here you got this wedge in the relationship, and it's getting worse and worse. And stop doing that. It's getting on my nerves. And really, it's got nothing to do with the other person, hardly. It would be nicer if they didn't do it, but it's really, like, my issue. Once I identify it as my issue, then I can grow with it. You know, so there's, like, a lot of tremendous advantages to this kind of a cheshbon and nefesh thing. We can organize and stay on top of things. Did I daven correctly? Did I eat correctly? Did I talk to people correctly? What did I say that made somebody feel good today? If you don't find anything that you said in a whole day that made somebody feel, like, really good, you know what? Then you messed up. You messed up. Like, you know, you got to make sure that at least one thing you say was so cheap, like with compliments. You know, there's just something that you say during the day has to make somebody feel, like, really, really good. Okay, I did that, gewaldig. You know, if you didn't, that's going to come up on the chart. Got to work on that. So tomorrow I'm going to do it. I'm going to make somebody feel real good. I'm going to have at least 1 second of davening, which I'm really connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, really connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to focus. Okay, we got to. Okay.
Thanks.